Conditions like endometriosis and PCOS have been misunderstood, underdiagnosed, and many women say dismissed within the Irish healthcare system. For some, it can take years to get answers, all while dealing with chronic pain, exhaustion, and symptoms that impact everyday life. One woman sharing that reality online is Megan Connellan, who has started documenting her journey with endometriosis, adenomyosis, and PCOS through her TikTok account, The Endo Edit. Through honest videos about pain, treatment, surgery, and navigating the healthcare system, she's helping raise awareness around conditions that affect thousands of people in Ireland. Megan, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us this evening. For people who may not fully understand these conditions, can you explain what they are?
Yeah, so I suffer with stage 4 endometriosis, adenomyosis, and PCOS. And what they are is endometriosis is a chronic condition where tissue similar to the lining of the uterus grows outside of it. So it's like the body is having many internal bleeds and inflammation in places it shouldn't every month. Researchers have found that it behaves in some cancer-like ways inside the body. It's important to note that it's not cancer, but it acts in the same way as the way it can continue to grow, invade nearby organs, cause chronic inflammation, and even create its own blood source to continue to grow. Adenomyosis is similar to endometriosis, but instead of the tissue growing outside of the uterus, it grows into the muscle of the uterine wall itself. It has similar symptoms to endo and also can impact fertility. And then PCOS, which is now named PMOS, is a hormone imbalance and insulin condition that affects ovulation, fertility, metabolism, energy, and sometimes weight. So having all three is just great.
I was about to say, like, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. Like, that is a lot. That is a lot to have all in one go. A lot of things happening and not necessarily something that we talk about that much either. So take me back to the beginning of the journey. When did you first realise that something wasn't completely right?
Yeah, so my story is a bit different. During my life, I had been diagnosed with IBS and I'd really struggled with mental health and heavy periods. I'd been on the pill since I was 16. So I'd be texting my sister saying, oh, I've had 5 blood clots today and the next day I'd have X amount. And she'd always say, go to the doctor. But I never did because back then I'd never heard of endometriosis or anything like that. And I was already on the pill, so I didn't know if the doctor would have anything or do anything for it. So my real story only started in 2023. I came off the pill in 2022 over Christmas, and then I got my smear results, which came back saying I had HPV and I had to go for a colposcopy. So I ended up having to have 3 loop biopsies and then the LETS treatment. And ever since that, I've been pretty much in pain constantly since. I went for an ultrasound. My GP referred me to go for an ultrasound because I was in excruciating pain. So they thought they might have done something during the treatment that caused it. And the consultant had actually saw something on the ultrasound. So he wrote his report, but the GP actually came back and gave me all clear and said, no, nothing to worry about. You'll go back to normal. So I requested the report from the Rotunda and I saw that the consultant had said suspected adenomyosis. So then I went back into my GP and said, this is what they're saying. So how are you saying I give me the all clear? And her words were that it's not what we were looking for. So now then eventually I got her on board and she was able to send me to go see my consultant.
There's a big, long time span there. If you're talking about when you're 16, when you went on the pill, to 2023, to everything that's happened since, was it fair to say, do you think, very difficult to get diagnosed with all of this? I know a lot of women in Ireland who have been through what you've been through would say that as well. Where do we think that we're being failed the most?
So I think in my story, because I was on the pill for so long, I was being masked, I actually have a much easier time getting diagnosed because when the pain got really bad, I was diagnosed within a year. So that is not normal. It's normally like 7 to 10 years, which is insane. I found the hardest part was getting my GP on board. Once I got her on board, my consultant was and is still is amazing, and I don't have to advocate for myself. But I think it's with the healthcare system, it's getting better, but it's just not in any way where it should be. I've really seen a lack of support from especially women doctors, which is, you wouldn't expect that because you should understand how I feel. So like with women doctors and pharmacists, they often refer to us living with chronic pain as having a bad period, which is so demoralizing. Like, you've no idea, I could have two flare-ups in a week, or I could have a flare-up that lasts 2 or 3 weeks and end up in A&E. And the only support they give is painkillers. So it really gets to you at some points.
Chronic illnesses affect far more than just physical health as well. How has this impacted your daily life mentally and emotionally and socially as well over the last couple of years?
Yeah, so it's affected every part of my life. During the initial year, it just seemed to be blow after blow with getting diagnosed with adenomyosis and stage 2 endometriosis, then still being in pain, and it was stage 3 endo and adeno was really aggressive. Then we did a fertility test, and I'll never forget that call. My consultant's words were, it's much worse than we could have expected. I broke down in tears after that call. I ended up seeing a therapist and worked. She was an amazing therapist and really helped me come to terms with what was going on. So now, thankfully, I don't come out of every appointment in tears, but you're always living in fear that your body won't cooperate. I had one of my very close friends' weddings in April, and you have that worry that I could be in bed for the weekend or I could have a great time. And thankfully, my body cooperated and I had the best time. But 2 weeks after that, I had a flare-up. Like, as in 2 weeks, I had a flare-up. And then it's like things like your birthday or going on holidays. You're like, do I have enough painkillers? Will I be okay? What'll I do if I can't? Because you don't, it's just the feeling of being a burden is what takes its toll. And you can't control it. And that's the hardest part, because I could have a bag full of painkillers and it could be just that one flare up that won't react to anything.
I'm sure everyone in your life would definitely conclude you are not a burden in any capacity, but that does seem to be like a common trait of thought amongst people that have experienced issues like yours. And there does seem to be a pressure and a societal norm in society right now to kind of push through the pain of periods and anything to do with women's health, because that's just the way it is. It's really important to see that that shouldn't be the case, you know, particularly when there's something wrong, you know, and there was something not right in your scenario for sure. What made you decide to start sharing the journey publicly through the Endo Edit?
It actually came about, I was on the phone to my sister complaining about the volume of flare-ups I was having, and that I had to chat GPT it, because who else are you supposed to ask? And it turns out it was because of these new meds I'm trying. And so she was the one that pushed me to do it. And because although I do have a few friends that have endometriosis, none of them seem to suffer with it like me. Thankfully, wouldn't want anyone to suffer. But I wanted to be able to help people that are suffering and open up the conversation further, so that it's not that hard to find answers. You don't have to go to AI to see what's going on with your body, and to be able to have a community where you can ask for guidance and vice versa.
And also, it'd be very important to note that AI isn't something that we should be relying on for medical advice at all, because it can be extremely inaccurate and give false information. So to feel like that's what you had to resort to is really, really even difficult to take in, because you should be able to have that community around you. And now that you've made that for yourself, for so many, it's really, really, really powerful. What changes would you like to see happen in Ireland soon when it comes to women's healthcare and diagnosing chronic conditions?
I think doctors and GPs need to be trained in seeing the symptoms of all three, as they're the first point of contact and they're often the first roadblock in getting diagnosed. I also think there needs to be more support from the government. I see countries giving certain allowance days to endo flare-ups, and having these conditions costs a fortune. So between consultant visits, multiple different consultants, and then meds that they prescribe just to see if they can help, like, this adds to all the stress, which makes the symptom worse because you don't have any help.
It just seems to be this like vicious cycle that it keeps feeding into it. Is it a thing that as well, stress can make those conditions flare up potentially as well? I know that mightn't be an exact science, but it can be a contributing factor.
Absolutely, it does. It makes such a big difference. If I have a stressful week in work, I'm guaranteed to be in bed the next week, yeah, no matter what. And it's crazy to believe that the government don't treat it as a disability when you can have people bedbound for weeks on end with no support.
It's just not good enough the way that things are in society when it comes to understanding and recognising these conditions for people. But if there's someone listening tonight who feels like they're constantly being dismissed or perhaps ignored when it comes to their health, what advice would you have for them?
No one knows your body as well as you do. And unfortunately, no one cares to find the answers as quick as you. So you have to keep advocating for yourself. Don't take no for an answer. If one doctor's saying no, change doctors and just keep pushing through. Be annoying as you can be to ensure that you're being listened to. That's what worked for me.
Where can we find you on social media, Megan?
So I'm on TikTok and Instagram as the_endo_edit.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us this evening, Megan. Really, really, really powerful story. And I'm sure so many people will take something from it. So thank you for joining me on iRadio's group chat.
Thanks so much for having me.